From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 29th, 2014. This weekly podcast gives you an inside edge on technology news related to all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This week we highlight four news items you may have missed, from commercial space to mobile location-based advertising. So stay tuned for news you won't find anywhere else. But first, a word from our sponsor. Map out your future in one of the top three high-growth industries. With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you'll be an expert in spatial thinking and geographic information systems. And you'll have the tools that will make you indispensable in the industry. The degree is completed entirely online in cohort-based classes, so it's perfect for working professionals. For more information, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags. So, Dana, 2 weeks ago, we discussed nine new Earth observation satellite companies launched by the private sector, some venture funded. Now, that podcast was one of our most downloaded podcasts ever in such a short period of time, with over 500 downloads in less than 2 weeks. So I want to highlight a news item that just broke last Friday, somewhat of a related nature. SpaceX, the CEO of which is Elon Musk, perhaps even better known as the founder of Tesla, the electric car manufacturer, he made an announcement at the National Press Club that SpaceX will be suing the federal government to allow his company the opportunity to bid on spy satellite launches, which up until now, according to CNBC, have been a sole source contract with United Launch Alliance. Now, that's a joint venture with Lockheed Martin and Boeing. Some of our listeners may remember that SpaceX's Falcon 9 two-stage rocket had its third successful launch about a week and a half ago, demonstrating again an example of how commercial space is taking another step forward, replacing purely government-funded space programs. So it seems like we're not just lurching toward commercial space, we're bounding toward a new era. And I would suspect that Congress and the federal courts will take a hard look at Musk's case, which I'm presuming are an attempt to get the National Reconnaissance Office to allow SpaceX to bid on future launches of spy Earth observation satellites. I can only think that, you know, if SpaceX continues the development of Falcon 9 and then they're what they call the Falcon 9 Heavy, which is a sister spacecraft with a much greater payload capacity, that this will really break down one of the biggest barriers I see to commercial Earth observation, which is cost. And now, given the relationship with Russia, may eliminate the need to use or the opportunity to use a Russian launch vehicle. And Musk pointed this out in testimony before Congress on March 6th. And again, we'll put links to in the show notes. And he said some of United Launch Alliance's technologies are Russian built, which may also impact ULA, United Launch Alliance's contract, given recent sanctions imposed by the government on Russia. So again, you put all these facts together and commercial space is just probably going to explode. It's going to draw down the barriers in cost, and we may see even more Earth observation systems launched by yet other commercial space ventures.
All I can say is go Elon Musk. Push those boundaries, both technologically and within the government framework. I mean, this is the only way we're going to move forward. And let's face it, he's done some pretty cool stuff.
He really has.
From a technology standpoint, they really should listen to him. And from a let's open up these doors wider standpoint, they absolutely should listen to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I want to actually move to the government, maybe a different corner of the government. In fact, a corner of the government that we're not always super happy with, but everything is rosy this week with the USGS. Two announcements out of there. I'm going to cheat and put two of them together just for news from USGS. One is they released the first set of newly designed US topo maps. And you think about the topo maps and you think about the cartography and it's been the same forever and ever and it never changes and so forth. Well, when we moved to digital, you know, we had that opportunity and they actually have a new look. And let me quote what USGS said. US topo maps now have a crisper, cleaner design, enhancing readability of maps for online and printed use. Map symbols are easier to read over the digital aerial photograph layer, whether the imagery is turned on or off. Improvements to symbol definitions, layer order, and annotation fonts are additional features of the supplemental release. Users can now adjust the transparency for some features and layers to increase visibility of multiple competing layers. And you can, this new design is actually available in just three states so far, because they just released the design, and then the first set of states that were using them just came out. So that's West Virginia, New Jersey, and Georgia. And I think that's great. And I guess the only request I would have from the USGS is give us a side-by-side so we can see the cartographic differences. It's just a great opportunity to, you know, look at cartography, which so many of us don't look at as much as we should. But kudos to them for thinking about it, executing it, and
Going back to the roots, really, of a national mapping agency and what their missions are.
Right, and really, in so many ways, setting the standard for what maps look like. Right.
And right.
Really,
right.
Been. That's what they have done, and hopefully with this, continue to do. The other announcement from USGS floors me. They are going to have a 30-minute webinar for developers called Using the National Map Services to Enable Your Web and Mobile Mapping Efforts at the end of April. That's April 30th. And this, to me, is sort of the first outreach that I've seen in this new format, in the webinar format, saying, hey, developers, come use our services from the government to make your apps.
That's great.
And it's sort of the other side of what Elon Musk is doing. He's saying the commercial sector should be doing what the government does. And this is sort of the government saying, hey, commercial developers, use our stuff. Don't use the stuff from those companies. Or at least look at what we have to offer.
Well, it's a good thing to see, because as we've noted in other areas of government, the policies of open data, open source software being put out there by both commercial and classified government agencies, I think is a really good positive step.
Right. Another one of those sort of transparency things. And this is a real sort of poke to developers. Hey, pay attention.
We've got
stuff too.
One other item I want to point out too has really to do with some new players in location-based advertising, and I'll just note a recent press announcement from Berg Insight, the market research firm out of Sweden. They note that the total value of the global real-time mobile location-based advertising and marketing market will grow from about $1.6 billion in 2013 at a compound annual growth rate of about 54% to nearly 10 billion euros, that's $14 billion by 2018. And this will correspond to about a 39% growth of all mobile advertising and marketing. It to me is an interesting development from a couple different areas. One, noted this past week, Facebook came out with their revenue numbers, which was an astounding $2.7 billion, and most of that was from mobile advertising, which was up 59% of their total ad revenue pie. Mobile advertising growing hugely, boosting Facebook stock immensely. And I'll just quote one other thing from the Berg Insight press release. So this past year has seen a significant development in real-time mobile location-based advertising space. One example is the concept of beacons. You and I have talked about that before. And Bluetooth Low Energy, again, that wasn't focus of another podcast. They say that, and I quote again, the burgeoning BLE, Bluetooth Low Energy-based beacon ecosystem, is now populated by a large number of diverse players, including PayPal, Qualcomm, startups such as Estimote, Swirl, and Shopkick. And he adds that this is a completely new set of players competing alongside established location-based advertising players like Placecast, which we've known for many years, Telenav, and Waze. So here again, another barrier crushed. The BLE sensors have opened up a new market that no one dreamed of just a few years ago, that's creating a new submarket in location-based services and advertising, and another addition to what I would call the broader location intelligence ecosystem. So new technology bolstering what we already know, which is mobile advertising exploding, Facebook giving a real-time example of their revenues being immediately hit with mobile. So interesting development in the mobile space.
It really is, and I want to put this in some context. I was lucky enough to be in San Francisco last week for a Pitney Bowes analyst meeting, and one of the speakers there was John Spinney, who's now the director of product management for the Location Intelligence Group, was sort of speaking about social media and location-based services and sort of what's going on in that space. And one of the things he pointed out was that the revenue that came from navigation applications and sort of Find My Friend applications reached its peak in 2010 and has been going down ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising, right?
No, not surprising. Right,
so you have to find another way to monetize the data you're collecting. And the way that's happening now, it seems to me, is mobile advertising, right? That's what That's what Facebook is making all this money on. And a lot of that has to do with the location part of it. So this really has become the way that you monetize. It's sort of the next iteration of how do you fund a website? Well, with advertising. Well, how do you fund anything now? Well, you fund it by advertising, but advertising on steroids, right? That's much smarter about the person that you're sending.
Exactly right. Yeah, much more deeper target marketing. Analytics.
The piece of news that I want to focus on is a small announcement from ESRI, no press release. This was posted on their blog that ArcGIS Open Data is now in open beta. And the ArcGIS Open Data program is something that we've been following for some time, and it's sort of got a couple of parts. It's this idea that if you have your data in ArcGIS Online, you can tag it and say it's open, and thus it's under an open license, and people can use it under that license, and it's findable by the public and so forth. That's sort of one part of it. Another part is if you want to have an open data presence, you can make a website for your organization that makes your open data readily available and distinct from other data. And finally, ESRI has a site of its own where it's making available ESRI open data, which I'm still not exactly sure what that is. What I found really interesting is that this announcement was made on April 24th, and I saw some tweets about it. And then I didn't hear much else. And I guess I thought this was really an important step. I mean, when Google puts something in beta, everybody gets all excited and they all go try it and so forth. And I didn't get that feeling here, and I'm a little bit disappointed.
This is the Andrew Turner initiative, is that right?
They're
open. Yeah, so I mean, it seems to have been coming for a while. Maybe Esri didn't think they did a very good job of it announcing it in the first place. They had to do a backtrack. We did the interview with Andrew. Seems to be a really, really soft launch.
Right. And this was actually announced at the Federal GIS conference.
Right.
So it's sort of been a while, and it's sort of been moving forward. But now, ideally, they want users to start banging on it, provide some feedback during this beta cycle. And I'm curious to see what kind of feedback and what kinds of things have evolved once we get to the user conference come July.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, is that the user conference may be something that they'll make a little bit larger announcement, maybe based on the soft launch that we've had here.
Exactly. I think this is sort of the soft launch to prepare for the really formal, we've got the plan in place, launch in July.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, Elmhurst College, wants you to know that with a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you can map out your future. At Elmhurst, you'll work with experienced educators and professionals, and you can complete the program in just 2 years. And Elmhurst has a dedicated GIS server, so you get hands-on experience. To learn more, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag, or send us a tweet @directionsmag. Thanks again for joining us today. And be sure to tell a friend.